again, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Jeff Fiegels, and we'll be here for the next hour to talk New York Giants football. And, of course, we will continue our countdown to the NFL draft, which is just about a month away. Can you believe it, Jeff? I can't wait, to be honest with you. I don't know. Do we really have to wait another month?
You do, but it's close. You know, you don't have to go to Chicago this year. You just go down to Philly.
Oh, or come here.
Or come here and do it. Yeah, well, yeah. Don't you wish, could you imagine Paul Dottino in the draft war room?
You know, I've been here every year of my 35 years. So this is now my 35th year covering the Giants. And I've been here at Giants draft headquarters every single season, and they've yet to let me in the room.
And they yet will never let you in the room. So you're going to be defeated, 0-35.
Indeed, I am.
But it is exciting, and it changes every single day. You know, a guy in it, all of the, you know, they're doing the pro day, so his stock goes up, his stock goes down. Mm-hmm. You got mock draft 4.0, 5.0, 7.0.
Yes.
And but it's just, we're going to have somebody on here today that will probably bring a little bit of light to the air as far as what we're doing with the draft and what he thinks. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big draft guy. I think you know that. I'm more on the free agencies and the pro players. But this is an interesting draft when you talk about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think the quarterbacks, in my opinion, Paul, is this is kind of one of those drafts where they're not sexy, any of them. It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. You know, you got guys, some guys with really good arm. Trubisky only has played 13 or 14 games in his career, and now he's supposed to be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah, Mayock loves him, so that means he's great, right?
Yeah, but that's my point. Everybody has their opinions on this until the day of the draft. And what a lot of people – I do see – just do a little research before our show today. I do see there are some mock drafts that actually take into consideration kind of guessing if teams are going to trade up or trade down, which mm-hmm. is interesting to me. How you even come up with the players, where they're going to go? But now you're talking about, oh, well, by the way, this team is going to, you know, and we talked about that a little bit earlier today about, you know, what do the Giants do? Do they move up if they got to try to go after and get their guy? So we'll have to see how that works out. But, yeah, a month away.
The Giants are number 23 in the first round. They are number 55 overall as you get to round two, and then so forth and so on down the line. Josh Norris from Roto World and NBCSN will be joining us in just a couple of minutes to talk about some of the things going on with the draft. For the last 2 weeks, we have picked out one school with NFL draft prospects each day and tried to talk to the experts from those regions about their draft prospects and guys we thought the Giants might be interested in from those schools and how their prospects may fall in the draft. But today we're talking to Josh Norris to get a generic perspective on the NFL draft. Coming up on Monday, I believe the Auburn Tigers, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, will be Monday's school as part of our Big Blue Kickoff Live draft preview show. So we're looking forward to doing this every day. Today, again, it's a generic NFL draft preview show. Josh Norris will be with us in just a minute. Jeff, one thing before we get to Josh and start talking about the draft, there were a bunch of rules proposals that were proposed to the NFL competition committee. I just want you to touch on the one that you felt drew the most interest in your mind and had to do with kickoffs.
Well, that wasn't the most. I
mean, it wasn't?
No.
You seemed very excited about it.
I did, because I think that people will get a kick out of it, no pun intended.
Oh,
but
man,
it's the one that
bad.
You know, if the kickoff, the ball goes through the upright, the ball will only come out to the 20-yard line, where a regular touchback nowadays is a 25. I think it's a fun idea. I think it's kind of, like you said, a kooky idea. But I don't think it'll pass, and I think that – but it would be kind of cool just to see it, because the kickers would love it. They would try to just be – you know. But what a 5 yards difference, what's the big one? To me, the biggest one is the instant replay going central command posts or whatever, you know, just having it in New York and doing it. That, mm-hmm. to me, makes sense. I think that that's what the other – some of the other leagues in the around the – sports world do it, and I think they do it very well. I think that it makes sense. No more under the hood, you know, it saves time.
Yeah.
So that to me, we don't have a lot of time to talk about it. But that was the biggest one for me, and then of course probably the second one is the review of penalties.
Okay. Very cool. All right, we will get to more of that conversation in the second half of our program, and you can also dial us up at 201-939-4513. But now we bring in Josh Norris of Roto World and NBCSN. He is the draft guru and the fantasy football guru for those folks. Josh, thanks so much for taking the time. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegel's with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and you are a busy man these days, are you not?
Yeah, no, it is a busy time. You know, people actually start caring about me in this next month, so I love it. I'm glad to join you guys.
Well, that's great, and I know your phone's ringing off the hook. I just want to start before we get to some of the generic draft conversation that I know Jeff wants to chime in on as well. You had a clip on Twitter this morning, which I believe revealed, I guess you're doing five at a time on your Twitter in terms of your latest mock draft. You had Hassan Reddick, the linebacker from Temple, going to the New York Giants. I'd like an explanation on that one. Who were the two or three guys that maybe you were thinking of for them when it came time for their pick on your board, and why you went with Reddick?
Yeah. Well, so let me start by saying this. We know that Jerry Reese and the New York Giants have really not valued the off-ball linebacker position at all, despite, you know, fans chiming in and wishing that wasn't the case. And, you know, all these decision makers have trends and have types and have a history, you know, especially long-tenured ones like Jerry Reese. So maybe this is breaking that, but and I don't, you know, mean to speak in hypotheticals here, but last year it seemed like the buzz was linking them to a linebacker in the first round. And that obviously did not happen. And so I think that this is something that where we could see a linebacker that has some pass rushing ability, who's also off the ball, who I actually think has a chance to, you know, be the first linebacker off the board over even Reuben Foster, honestly. Wow. I mean, no one has helped their evaluation more during this draft process than Hassan Reddick. And the linebacker I was referring to earlier was Leonard Floyd out of obviously Georgia, who went slightly above them. And look, Leonard Floyd and Hassan Reddick have a different frame and a bit of a different style, but both had snaps where they played on the edge and off the ball. And I actually think Hassan Reddick, you know, on top of being an outstanding athlete, is exceptional in coverage for someone coming out of college. And that's tough to find just because, you know, he started off as a cornerback and safety as a walk-on and kind of transitioned from there during his time at Temple.
Well, I will tell you that's all smoking mirrors, Josh.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and find a first-round draft pick in the last 20-something years for linebacker, you've got to go back a ways for Carl Banks. But I know what you're saying, and I'm just kidding.
Hey, man, Luke Kuechly was quite a linebacker to come out early.
Well, I mean, for the Giants.
In,
I mean,
in coverage.
For the Giants,
oh,
that's what I mean.
For the Giants.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about in general. No, I completely understand what you're saying.
I know, and I was just kind of kidding. I was really just kidding you a little bit there. But, I you know, and it was true. Last year, everybody was on Leonard Floyd. We all were on there. That's going to be the pick. That's going to be the pick. And then when it wasn't the pick, we were like, oh, my God, now what are we going to do? And they take Eli Apple. But, you know, it couldn't hurt the Giants. I mean, they are so talented on the defensive side of the football from what they did last year and coming into this season. You know, they do have B.J. Goldson, who's a guy that's going to be – or Goodson, excuse me, that they drafted last year that they're high on. But, you know, I think for me, when I look at what this team needs – And these offensive linemen. That's what it is for me. I wrote down a couple things before the show today, and really I wanted to understand what other people are thinking. I think we're all on the same page in the sense that, you know, a wild card pick could be a linebacker, but I think for the most part, we've all been talking about these offensive linemen. And I think for the Giants, it's really a matter of who is going to be there at 23 and which one they have, you know, rated as high as they do on their board. You know, is there a chance that they could get one of these guys? I don't think Bowles will be there. I think he'll probably be one of the guys that will be gone. Who do you think that if they're at 23 and they are going to go, let's just say they're going to go lineman, who would you see that the Giants may be able to get at 23?
So I'm going to reverse this question and ask you.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem like that this is the case anymore, that they're confident with Ereck Flowers on the left side. I mean, they're open to moving him. I think they've discussed that. So are you in this situation suggesting maybe a left tackle with a right tackle conversion for Ereck Flowers?
I am just considering any type of player that has an OT in front of the name.
Okay. That kind of narrows it down a little bit.
Taking the PC approach.
Of course I do. That. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Well, you know that, look, the transition from left to right is not as easy as some make it out to be because everything is flipped. Everything is inverse. I mean, it's like writing your name if you're right-handed with your left hand.
Yeah.
And, I mean, luckily I don't have to be PC on this show, and I was not a big fan of Eric Flowers coming out of the draft. And I do think, though, that the NFL was, and, I mean, it showed. And if the Giants were going to take him, then another team right after them was going to take him. Look, Ryan Ramczyk out of Wisconsin is an interesting player in the late first round. He's coming off a hip injury and has not been able to participate in the draft process. And he only has 1 year as a starter at Wisconsin. I mean, the same thing with Garrett Bowles at Utah. Mm-hmm. You know who I really like? And there are two names. And if we want to talk about specifically on the left side, I really like Antonio Garcia out of Troy. A lot of people have struggled with Clemson this season in terms of blocking them up front. If you want to watch one game of Antonio Garcia's, watch that Clemson game. I mean, he had an outstanding contest in that one.
Nice.
And then on the right side, Taylor Moten out of Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me a lot of Kelechi Osemele, coming out of Iowa State at the time. Someone that some might view as a guard, and he might shine there, but I also think he could stay at right tackle if you wanted him to. And the late first, early second round territory is where I think Moten comes off the board.
So, you know, it's interesting, Josh. As far as Garcia, John Schmelk and I had seen him at the combine, and we thought he was much too slender, did not have the boxcar kind of frame that may translate into the NFL. And to me, that's a huge problem. He's just not wide enough and thick enough for me. But as far as Moten, look, I'm hoping he gets to 55 in round two. I don't think it's going to happen. You just said you thought early second round, maybe. I don't think he's going to be there at 55, but he would be a real, real pick for me at the Giants pick in the second round.
I'd love to talk about Garcia a little bit as well.
Sure, go ahead.
I understand your concern. In fact, there have been some coaches that have said the exact same thing, that it's tough to be successful in the NFL if you weigh anywhere from 295 to 305. Then some former players chimed in and said, hey, look, in the season we get down to that weight. Look at Joe Staley and a number of others.
Right.
You're right that his frame is very different. I mean, he's a lean waist in comparison to a lot of offensive linemen that are much bigger bodied. But I'll say this. It's tough to find players with, quote-unquote, now use a term that a former personnel member of the Giants says, and Dave Gettleman, left tackle feet. It's tough to find tackles in every single draft class with left tackle feet. And I would argue that Eric Flowers does not have left tackle feet at times. I think Antonio Garcia does. And look, he added weight up to the combine from the Senior Bowl. I think he got up to like 303, 304 pounds, which is heavier than someone like Garrett Bowles. So if we're concerned about his weight, I completely understand that, right? If you have a threshold for that, I completely understand that.
Well, I look.
But I will say that I, just in terms of positioning and athleticism, maybe not testing, but just on the field, I think Antonio Garcia is a very impressive player in that regard.
I remember when the Giants drafted Will Beatty. He was kind of a tall, slendering looking guy too, and they put on probably 30 pounds on that guy, and he ended up being pretty good. So Josh, so we're infatuated here. I am, especially because I went to the University of Miami.
Uh-oh.
So you know where I'm going.
You know where he's going.
I love where you're going with this.
Okay, so this is another sexy pick for the Giants at tight end position. Either it's OJ Howard or Njoku. Paul and I were discussing this a little before the show. I think we both realize or probably that OJ is not going to be there at 23, but there may be a better chance of Njoku being there at 23. What do you think about my guy from the U?
Love him. I mean, you talk about someone that goes out and tests in the 92nd percentile in terms of athleticism of tight ends coming into the league since 1999. In fact, let me just put a cap on this entire tight end class. In the last 2 years, so 2015, 2016, only four tight ends overall in the entire draft class, so like 150 names, 100 names at the tight end position, tested above the 72nd percentile. There are seven or eight just from the combine numbers alone, just from that small combine group in this year's class. I mean, they talk about how great this tight end class, and it is. I mean, it's every ounce of what they say it is. Njoku is interesting because he doesn't turn 21, or he will only be 21 during his rookie year. He turns 21 in July. And then you already have someone that has a, 6'4", 240-pound frame.
Yes.
That is obviously the best receiving tight end in this class in terms of yards after the catch, which is tough to find. But also, I think he's at least, Jeff, at least willing and adequate as a blocker. And you know what? Tight end is the slowest developing position in the NFL. Really is.
You really do.
A lot of these guys don't contribute until their second contracts at that position. I think O.J. Howard and David Njoku are immediate contributors, and I would even argue that Njoku is an inline tight end as well, even though some just view him as a receiving option.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a small projection, but when you look at the overwhelming evidence of everything else that he does, you can afford to make that projection.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in this offense, you look at what Eli Manning likes to do. He likes tall, athletic, and really explosive tight ends. He hasn't had one in a while. But I will tell you that in the 2011 when you had Bear Pasco, pretty athletic guy, tall, but,
look how we did with Shockey.
And then look at Shockey, and then you look at Boss. He loves these types of guys. Now, what I like about it is not only that he's athletic, he's tall. You got a Brandon Marshall now that's 6'4" out there. Now offensively, if you get a tight end that could actually even spread him out a little bit with a 6'4" Brandon Marshall and an Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard, this offense has got a lot of potential. But, again, we now go back to our offensive line. And
hopefully he has 2.5 seconds or 3 seconds to throw the ball.
Sure, sure. So, listen, this year will be a lot of focus. There will be a lot of people watching the one-on-one drills in training camp and the OTAs and what's going on at the offensive line position. But, Paul and I agree that this Giants team is locked and loaded and ready to go. I think this is going to be a team that's going to push for the NFC East title, and I think that they're going to make a run in the playoffs. But I think the draft is going to be somewhere where they go and get some depth at some of these defensive positions that they need, because we haven't talked anything about the defensive positions, right? I mean, you got a lot of thickness there with these defensive ends and defensive tackles this year.
Can I ask y'all a question about Paul Perkins? Because I know a lot of people in the circles that I run in terms of fantasy football Twitter are really excited about Paul Perkins.
You should be.
And I liked him a lot coming out of UCLA in terms of I thought he was the best in the draft class at making the first man miss in the hole. I think he's kind of and I was the biggest Devontae Freeman fan of all of them, but a lesser Devontae Freeman, which is, no slight on him. Do you think he could be viewed as the primary ball carrier in this offense to start the season?
See, I think Jeff and I are a little bit on a different page on this. I think Jeff wants him to touch the ball more than I do. I want a three-headed monster back there. I want Vereen. Yeah. I want a power back. Hello, P. Ryan from Oklahoma. How about that?
I love him.
I love him.
I'll just draft him because of the name.
Okay, and then obviously Paul Perkins as your first and second down guy. Piron, your short yardage red zone goal line guy. Vereen, your third down guy. That's what I want to do. But I'm going to be honest with you. Again, Josh Norris of Roto World and NBC Sports Network with us. Josh, there are those who think that maybe Perkins should be the primary guy and get maybe two-thirds of the touches. I'm not so sure I want to do that. You see, I'm an Earth, Wind, and Fire guy. Remember when the Giants had Bradshaw, Jacobs, and Ward?
Those days are over.
That's what I want to do.
Those days are over.
See, we're having trouble here in the studio. Don't you worry about that. You mentioned you like Perine, though. Give me a thought on second, third, fourth round power backs that you think might fit what I'm looking for the Giants, besides P. Ryan, who obviously you're on board with.
Or even, Josh, even go into the first round. Remember, we're talking about Dalvin Cook and McCaffrey could be there, too.
I'll say this, and this might be an uncommon thing to say now, and look, I'm talking a lot about athletic testing, and I think rather than saying it doesn't matter and then changing, grades and evaluations based on it, I just admit that, it does factor in, especially, looking back at history and seeing guys with certain athletic profiles don't get drafted in the first round or, aren't successful. I think Dalvin Cook is along that spectrum. If nothing improves, he tests in the 9th percentile. There hasn't been a running back selected in the first round since at least 1999 at running back with that kind of athletic profile. So right now, I don't view him as a first-round prospect. you know what, if we're talking about power backs that like to finish and can create those final yards on final contact, Wayne Gallman out of Clemson, despite being like 6 foot, 215 pounds, does that quite a bit. And, you know, look, there are some exposures where he's not the best pass protector, but if you watch that final half of that Clemson-Alabama game in the championship, Deshaun Watson doesn't make a lot of those throws unless Wayne Gallman is picking up those blitzes, and he does a great job with that. A lot of people love Dante Foreman out of Texas.
They do.
Who could not go through workouts. My thing with Dante Foreman is he's kind of a big back but plays in a smaller style.
I agree totally with you, Josh.
Yep. He's not someone who's going to consistently break tackles. I mean, the highlights will show that he does, but if you watch him over and over again, he's not like Derrick Henry. He's not like Leonard Fournette. I think he's more of just, you know, taking advantage of the six-man boxes that their offense offered. If I'll throw one late-round guy in, one late round that maybe could be this year's Jordan Howard in terms of fifth round or later and could instantly contribute, I'm going to throw Elijah McGuire out of Louisiana Lafayette. Go check his game out if you haven't.
I have not.
East-West Shrine. Yeah, East-West Shrine invite and a really, really fun player. And, again, I don't expect him to be off the board until rounds 5, 6, or 7.
See, I thought you might come back with James Conner, who a lot of people seem to think is a fourth
like
or fifth
Conner.
Rounder.
I do like James Conner. I absolutely prefer P. Ryan. But James Conner is someone, I mean, and what a story. I mean, there were times when, you know, he had coming back from his leukemia treatments and then going to practice shortly after. But he, to me, he's a fourth or fifth rounder that, like you said, is a goal line or short yardage back. And I'll say this, and I know this is a giant show, but if the Patriots don't feel like that they have fulfilled the LeGarrette Blount role on their offense, I think someone like James Conner is a perfect fit at a cheap value to fulfill that role.
Yeah, and I know, quite frankly, Pitt alum Henry Hanoski, who, of course, is very familiar to Giants fans and still is in the building, he has told us a lot about Conner. And, you know, Henry was pretty tough in his own right, so that's a pretty good endorsement.
Right.
Hey, Josh, let me ask you a little bit aside from the Giants stuff here. When we talk about the draft, there's a lot of speculation that goes into these, obviously, with these mock drafts. What do you see the draft this year going in a sense of guys trading up and trading down? Is there going to be a lot of that this year than normal, or do you still kind of see that it'll just kind of go the way, you know, typically it does?
Yeah. Well, what we saw last year, obviously, with the two trades far in advance of the draft, with
to get the quarterbacks,
and the Eagles moving up, I doubt we'll see that this year with these quarterbacks. In fact, I mean, really, the whole conversation of the entire draft hinges on where quarterbacks are going to go, and that's going to be very difficult to project this year.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people are associating these quarterback names with teams in obvious need at the position. Jeff, I wouldn't be surprised if we see teams that are planning ahead for the future of that position on their team end up taking two or three of these quarterbacks in the top four, the Chargers, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo is not getting traded. Like, he's not. And I think a lot of these teams are going to look at what the Patriots model was, what the Aaron Rodgers model was, and say, because, look, If a quarterback is taken the first round on a team that's in need of the position immediately, he's playing early. And that has happened every single year, even despite some saying, well, he's not the starter entering the year, yada, yada. He touches the field.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these teams will want to plan ahead and say, look, if our starter has 1, 2, 3 years left, if we draft him the first round, we get at least 5 years with him. And in those 2 years, he doesn't have to see the field most likely. Those teams, like I mentioned, I think is going to surround the quarterback conversation.
Go ahead, Jeff.
And listen, you hit the you said it. I didn't. But you just kind of went over the scenario that a lot of people are talking about here. You know, you have a guy like
definitely.
Eli Manning, who maybe, you know, we don't know his timeline. The guy is so durable. But this could be a situation that you just talked about. And, you know, so maybe one of these quarterbacks are there. You know, Jerry Reese was down in – reportedly he was down in North Carolina and looking at Trubisky and, you know, doing their due diligence on things. So maybe this could be a situation that happens with the Giants. Who knows?
And I'll say this. If you rewind a few years ago to when the Vikings traded back into the first round – to get Teddy Bridgewater at pick number 32, I believe it was, or 31. all they had to give up was a third or a fourth rounder to move up from their second round pick. Like, in right. the grand scheme of things, that's not very much in terms of acquiring that fifth year contract, securing that fifth year deal, yeah. that fifth year option. So we could absolutely see that at the end of the first round if maybe Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Kaiser is still on the board.
Yeah, and you know, it's very interesting when on draft day when these trades, you know, the picks go down, and then you really, it kind of goes on what that team's philosophy is, like you just said. You know, it could be right. and I think what gets the first round swaps are not a big deal to me. I think that, like, when the Giants got Collins a couple years ago, they moved up to that first pick in the second round. You know, that was something. What did they give up there, Paul? Do you remember?
They gave up. They swapped fours, gave up a seven. They swapped twos, gave up a four, and gave up a seven.
Yeah, you want to know anything about the Giants? You can put it on Paul Dottino here. He will tell you everything. I'm not that gifted, but I think those are the more interesting moves to me when you get the guys that are going to move up into high into the second round yep. because they want to get their guys. So,
and I want to mention this. Last year, obviously, the Giants selected Eli Apple and gave Janoris Jenkins a major contract. Some other teams really invest in the cornerback position last year. Meanwhile, a ton of teams are going to be investing in the cornerback position in this year's
it's
draft.
It's very deep.
We could see some teams double up maybe in rounds 1 and 3, sure. 2 and 3, something like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, teams like the Giants, the Panthers, a number of others will sit back and be like, oh, we took ours last year, and maybe some other prospects at other positions that can drop a little bit to us. So I think that's an interesting thing where everyone's talking about how great this cornerback class is, and it is maybe 10 in the top 50. A number of teams probably won't even be looking at those prospects in that area.
All right. Well, Josh Norris of Roto
World
and NBC Sports Network, we thank you so much for your time, Josh. It's been fun. I know we will talk to you again sometime soon. And, you know, anybody needs to get a hold of you, they can check you out on Twitter at Josh Norris. And, of course, always click on you at Roto World and NBCSN. Thank you, Josh.
And, Josh, one thing,
Absolutely.
Too. I will tell you this, that if, in fact, that the Giants do pick a linebacker at number one, you will be the first one that we are going to call and say, you are the
there
man.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Josh.
I can't wait. I'll now be hoping for it, just like every Giants fan out there.
Take Absolutely. Care.
Thank you, Josh.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegels with you. And, you know, Jeff, the funny part about this is, and again, we'll get back to the schools again on Monday with the Auburn Tigers, but getting this overview from Josh, it is quite clear that there are so many more unknowns this year, maybe even than in years past. And there are so many guesses around draft time. But this year, I don't know. Maybe it seems like there's more than ever to me. I don't know if that's because the Giants are picking 23 and our frame of reference makes us guess more. I don't know.
No, I tell you what it is. Our frame of reference is basically last year, coming off of 2 6-10 seasons, we were kind of excited about what we could get up at number 10 or
right.
number 9 or whatever it was. This year, we're kind of like, okay, we got a defense that was ranked, you know, what were they, third in the NFL or second?
Well, second in points.
Okay. And now you're really excited about that. And so really it's like, oh, we got JPP coming back. Everybody's kind of like, oh, okay, the draft. We'll worry about the draft later. We were 11-5 last year. We just got to, you know, we got to figure out our offensive line and maybe we'll draft whoever, you know. So
kind of like the draft is the peas and carrots to the meal
yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
And at one point it was the steak.
It was the meat. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we talk about our last year's draft, the Giants' last year's draft. You know, you look at Eli Apple. He's going to go into his second year. Now, sophomore seasons in the NFL can be very dangerous. They can be either really good, Landon Collins.
Yeah.
Or they can be really bad sophomore years. It's kind of that sophomore slump, you know. But you look at Eli Apple, who got a lot of experience, a lot of playing time last year. That's going to help him a lot. And really, we didn't get to talk too much about the cornerbacks. You know that in this division now, you better have four cornerbacks. You better have four. I'm not saying three, because you already have three.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have four legit corners, okay, to be in this division. When you go down the line, what Washington's done, what Philly has done, what the Giants have, and what the Cowboys have, you got to have some cornerbacks.
Well, I had said the other day, and let me just confirm this by one of the draft guru folks that I deal with. I think I had said, and I'm going to just confirm this.
Well, when you say deal with, like, well, how do you deal with him, Paul? I want to know how
converse,
what is, huh?
converse, talk,
oh, converse
trade items.
Okay.
And
I just want to know
opinions.
What deal with him means. Like, is he a kind of a pain in the neck? You deal with
no,
him, or are you just
no,
like, you
no.
just kind of like him.
Okay,
all right.
Well, again,
I'm one,
we're starting
but
to
I'm actually,
good
but I'm actually
lines
pretty
here
curious
now.
About what the guy says about you when he deals with you. Would
probably
be more,
that I'm a pain in the butt.
Okay, that's cool. All right. So, anyways,
what I was really going to say though is that you could see as many as a dozen corners go by the end of round two. That's the point that I wanted to make. And I don't know that I can remember the last time that happened in the NFL draft.
So 12 out of 64 picks.
Potentially could be corners. That's how much talent is in that room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. So, you know, you could get a guy who's going to be playable in a rotation for you in a role spot probably in the third and fourth round even.
But, you know, we all know this, and it's not just the Giants. It's every team. That position gets hurt so much. You've got to have depth there.
That's why I'm not adverse to the Giants taking one.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm not.
Listen, it's just a matter of – and then it comes to philosophy. What, you know, we know that the Giants historically, they're, okay, you know what, here's our board. Check them off, check them off, check them off, and now we're at number whatever, and it's a cornerback. We're taking them. Best one.
You and I have not done a show, I don't think, since the season ended.
Probably
and
for a reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you tell Schmelk not to put yours on with me. I said something yesterday on the show, and I've said it before on WFAN, and I've been criticized for it by some. Others who believe I'm spot on, I want to ask you. If Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie...
You think you're going to get the right
answer?
I am
going to get an answer out of you. If Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie doesn't get hurt in that Packers playoff game, does Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary pass get completed in the end zone for a touchdown, and does that second half become entirely different because he's not throwing at Wade or Sensabaugh?
I don't know about the Hail Mary pass because that's just a fluke play anyways, but most likely not. And the other thing is, if when he's in the game, that changes it completely. The big thing about that game is if the Giants receivers catch two of the touchdowns that they did and that DRC is in the game.
I get all of that.
Yeah.
I just think that the loss of Cromartie, of DRC, in that game
it just
game
proves at a point that we said you've got to have
really,
really depth at corner. And yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We go to the phones at 201-939-4513. Line two, we have Oren from Virginia. You
Hi, Oren.
First. Hello.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
Great.
I'm really loving what the Giants are doing right now. I love the free agency. I really love the Brandon Marshall pickup because I remember talking about this a couple months back, saying like we really need a big receiver.
I
know Vic Cruz, he did so much great things for us, but I think Brandon Marshall is just the right fit. And then he's not the same Brandon Marshall. He's a mature, you know, veteran Brandon Marshall that can help Odell and all that because he used to be like that. And
they're friends,
like,
by the way.
The real piece that we're missing in the draft is like the offensive tackle, and then maybe get like Paul said, get a power back and get a receiving tight end because those are the three main positions that I'm looking for in the draft this year, and maybe a fourth corner like you said because that really Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie got hurt. That really did cost us the game. I felt like because they kept hitting the middle of the field and all that, and he was in the slot and they started attacking that field and the other corners couldn't handle it, and that's what I really have to say. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for the call, Oren. The Giants are indeed getting closer and closer to being a true bona fide Super Bowl threat. I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh, I think
you know.
Yeah. I mean, once the draft is over and then we start getting into upcoming the regular season, you're going to start seeing, you know, the power rankings for the teams, and the Giants are going to be up there in the top 10.
Did you know at any time during your career, and again, Jeff played over 20 years for you folks who are counting, did you know in March or April going into the draft that particular team's roster was close enough that if you made the right draft moves, you could get over the top?
I feel that a lot of the veteran players were more this is later in my career when they had free agency. I think that early on, I think the draft was really the one way you could get excited about that.
Right.
But I think from veteran standpoint, you're more excited about the free agents that you bring in than the draft because you know the transition with draft picks. You know, the first two round, first and second rounders are probably going to be your guys that really play a lot for you.
Right.
So, yeah, you could get excited for those two. But I think you know coming out of the season, depending on how it ended up, hence the way that the Giants finished this last year, yeah, you are excited. You're excited about the depth of the team, free agency, and then how and the only it's going to help is the draft. And I think that from that standpoint, yeah. But I think more importantly from a veteran standpoint, I was more excited about what the nucleus of the team was going into the season. And also, how important this is, people don't understand. The cohesiveness of the team in the offseason. This April workouts that are coming in,
yep.
The OTA, that to me is just as important as training camp, because that's when the new guys get there, mm-hmm. The draft picks somewhat get there, and you start building the nucleus and the cohesiveness of your team, and that's when you get excited.
You even have guys who now are allowed to work out at the facility.
Sure.
They can't do things with the coaches. They can't get out on the field or anything like that, but they're doing their strength, conditioning, and nutrition programs still around the facility, and that goes on year-round with a bunch of guys now.
Well, it should. It should. I mean, listen, I think there's a time and a place for everything, and I always lived in the city that, other than my first 3 years in the league when I was young, but after that, you know, you're there year-round, and you work out with the guys. You work out with your strength coach, and you are building that camaraderie and that cohesiveness, and it shows. You should be – I mean, listen, you got time to go on vacation. You got time to do what you want to do, but then, listen, come around March, it's time to go again.
Yeah.
It really is, and I think the more guys that are in the weight room here on their own, you know, I remember the offensive linemen always stuck together. You know that, Paul. They always stick together.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know, they eat together, they go to the bathroom together, they sleep. I mean, it's just and so when those guys were in, I remember O'Hara and Deal and all those guys, they all
Richie.
Came in and they worked out the same times, the same days, and that's important. Look at the way they played. They all played so well together because they were always doing things together.
Yeah. We go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Line one has Travis from the Bronx.
Travis.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Wonderful.
First time caller.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, and I would like to say I appreciate the job you guys do. You guys are doing an excellent job for us Giants fans, because it's a long off season.
We're trying.
Okay. What I would like to talk about with you guys is two things. The offensive line. Eric Flowers. I really believe that he should be given an extra year to show what he got. I'm not ready to throw in the towels with Eric Flowers, because I truly believe, because he has the making of a good left tackle. The physicality, everything that you would want physically in a left tackle, I believe Eric Flowers brings to the table. I think his biggest flaw is just technique. You know, I don't think Joe Thomas is a technician. Everything he do, I don't think he's more athletic than Eric Flowers. It's just that he's a technician. He's a worker. He understands, you know, how to position his body, leverage. He understands that as a veteran left tackle. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel. Everybody gets on Eric Flowers and say, oh, he's not good enough. You know, we should switch him over to the right. What would us switching him to the right does for him as a player? If he can't get it right at the toughest position, you think he's going to be a great right tackle? I don't believe so. Because his problem is, it's all about technique.
Yep. Well, that's a good point, and I think that a lot of people are making that point, and I know that Paul is a big believer in this, that you have 3 years, and in the third year is the one where you got to prove yourself.
Yep.
And then after that, it's sink or swim. So I think, in my honest opinion, I think the Giants are gonna work with Eric Flowers. I know he's been in the building. He's working on some things, technique-wise. He had a new coach last year. I think that'll help him coming into his second year. I know a lot of people aren't liking what I'm saying, but I think that, you know, he's gonna have to show, and maybe that he's got a little fire in his belly to come out and prove. You know, I've always liked the guys that come in and say that they're honest with themselves, look at the film and say, you know what, I didn't do a good job. I haven't done a good job. I got to get better. You know, you look at the guy Fluker. He came in here this building. He signed a deal. He said, you know what? I got to prove everybody wrong. I want to prove. That's the kind of guy I want to see.
One year deal.
Prove it. And, you know, then if I do what you want me to do and I prove it to you, then I'll take the money. But right now, I'm going to come in here and show you. I think that Eric Flowers, I'm not just going to pick on Eric Flowers. I'm going to pick on a lot of guys that are in these positions where they are first rounders, maybe second rounders. They kind of rest on their laurels a a little bit. They you know, they're big picks, and they're expected that they come from a major university that they think they're just going to fit in the NFL. It's a whole different ball game at this level. We know that, and it takes time to learn.
Yeah, right? And also in Eric Flowers' defense, remember, this guy was drafted to be the left tackle, but he was going to start off on the right side. But due to injury to Beattie, he was forced into the left tackle position. And that's a lot to ask for a rookie, especially in the NFL. And since he's been in the league, he hasn't had anybody on a team that can challenge him for that position. So initially, he inherited a position by default.
Well, Travis, we are going to find out a lot about what Eric Flowers is during the course of this third NFL season. And I hope that when we converse with you on the show again next time, you have some evidence that indicates he's doing better, because I know a lot of people around here would like to see that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of callers into this show would like to see that.
That too.
Yeah. I would love to. I would like to thank you guys for taking my call. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
All right,
you
Travis,
too.
Thank you. And yes, Jeff, you alluded to the 3-year rule, and yes, I do subscribe to that very strongly. And the Giants have a couple of guys, actually, they need to find out a lot about in their third season. Odighizuwa, for example, is another guy on the other side of the ball that a lot of injuries have derailed his progress, his potential, his development. It's the third year. He needs to be healthy. He needs to stay on the field. He needs to produce.
Who's the other one? Third guy.
Jay Bromley?
I'll go there. I'll go there. And again,
show me time.
Injuries. Listen, I think that there comes and this is why you don't, this is exactly why you don't see every single player that's either drafted or signed in the National Football League play for 5, 10, 15 years. You got a window.
What?
And you got to make it in that window, and as soon as you're labeled, and what I mean by labeled is that you got cut before a reason, you go to another team and you get cut, it's just you're done.
Heck,
they move on.
Look at Bobby Hart. This is his third season too, and he needs to develop more consistency.
I think he made a step in the right direction last year, but you're right. He has to – like I said to Josh, we're going to be watching that offensive line competition this whole offseason and the whole into training camp, because there's a lot of instability at that right side. Who's going to be the right guard? Who's going to be the right tackle? Who's going to be the swing guy? Who's going to what? I think that – but also, you know, you look at the left side, you want to create some competition over there too. You got to be able to have – you know, you can't have 15 offensive linemen. You got to have guys that can play on both sides, right and left, and be a fill guy. But I think the most important thing for this Giants offensive line is to establish who the five guys are going to be quickly as possible, so that they can get some chemistry in the preseason and get some cohesiveness going into the regular season. Because instead of, you know, milk just piecemealing it here and there, you know, Pew was out for some weeks, then this guy was out in that week. I mean, you look at one offensive line in the NFL that played together the whole season was the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
Their offensive line was state. But look what happened to them the year before and the year before that. They were a disaster. I mean, so it's very important that these guys stick together.
And before the Twitter police get on me, I know Bromley's in his fourth year, but he's only his third year, really, as a guy who's expected to play much. He didn't play much as a rookie. It was virtually a wash. So anyway,
yeah.
I just want to throw that out there, because to me, that's the way I think of him.
He had a redshirt year.
Kind of. Nick from the Meadowlands, line 3, you are next on the show. Hello.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Hi.
Good.
What a good day today. It's 2 days in a row. They give me something to do right around the time you guys come on, so I could sneak on and get a little bit of fun.
Good stuff.
And you guys are together. This is a first for me.
It's been a while since Jeff and I have had a chance.
Thank you.
I think what the guy before me was saying, I don't think you could – you know, put it any better, really. I mean, that's the truth, really.
Yep.
You know, he should have came in as a right tackle. What happened, happened. You get put into these situations. You're in the NFL. Time to play, buddy. You know, I don't think if you move him to the right side, like you've been saying, Paul, it's not going to change anything. Hopefully he's in that offensive line school right now. You know?
You know,
Nick,
I will say one thing.
Give him a little chance, you know? This is the year.
I will say one thing. Coach Solari now has a second year to work with Eric Flowers. And no matter what you think of a young man's potential and his ability. There's still an adjustment period. He had a new offensive line coach last year who started fresh. Flowers clearly had a lot of things he had to clean up, and he just wasn't able to do it all in one season. I think that Coach Solari's resume is very good. He's done a lot of great work with a lot of people over a lot of years, and I think it's only fair to him, not just Eric Flowers. It's only fair to Coach Solari to give him a second year to work with this guy.
Wow. Yeah, I think exactly what you're saying. So just let's see what happens this year. And plus what we were talking about yesterday, Paul, you got Rhett Ellison, you got John Jerry, you got Fluker. You know, it's going to help out. It is. So let's see what happens.
Yep.
And you guys are talking about in the draft, we haven't talked defense. We talked yesterday, Paul, maybe fourth round, get a corner. Get that fourth corner like you were saying, Figs.
Yep.
There you go.
Got to get that guy.
I haven't heard linebacker in there. There's a guy, Jared Davis, in the second or third round that might fall right there. Get him, you know. Well, about the same size as Ray Lewis, probably about the same build.
You know, there are people who think that Cunningham or Reddick, if they are there at 23, the Giants will make the plunge. And I can understand that. I'm more of a Cunningham guy than a Reddick guy myself. But I get it. So if they take one, no one's going to cry. It's not exactly a bad move.
I'm not that worried, like I said yesterday, Paul, about 23. Unless O.J. Howard's there or Njoku's there or, you know, some of these guys are there. But there's three things we got to get. P. Ryan, and P. Ryan.
You know, I love him.
Get that running back and then get –
I love him, Nick.
Get an offensive lineman somewhere.
I know.
Get second round, third, wherever. I don't really care where. Get, you know, they'll find a lineman. Depth, help you at that swing tackle maybe. Who knows? And you know what? Get it tied in, man. If you have those three things, like we were talking yesterday, Paul, these teams are going to have so much trouble.
Yep. Nick, appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again.
All right, fellas.
201-939-4513. The point that I made with Lance yesterday, Jeff, was that the production the Giants get this season out of rounds 2, 3, and 4, out of those three players combined, may wind up being more important to their success than even the production out of the number one pick. I feel that way.
Depending on who the number one pick is.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
correct. It could turn out to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, if the number one pick is a left tackle or a right tackle, I mean, that's pretty big. You have to get some production out of him. It's very important. But,
well,
yeah.
If it's Njoku or Howard, that'll be pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you like that, huh? You like the tight end position.
I think if either one of those two guys were there, I would take the plunge for the tight end to 23.
Why are you calling plunge? Why, it's not a plunge.
Because for me, I'm not usually a tight end guy in the first round. I tend to shy away from tight ends in the first round. That's not my MO. I'm a trenches guy.
But you know what? I think that when you look at what Denver does and you look at what some of these teams do with at the tight end position, I think you got to have one of those guys in today's world. You got to have a tight end like that. And I just feel like the Giants went out and got it. They got a blocking fullback / tight end, which honestly, the team had, for all intents and purposes, they wanted to have a fullback last year.
Right.
Nikita and Johnson. They both got hurt, and they were stuck. So they said, okay, we're not going to go through the season again like that. Our running game hurt because of it. But then you go get a tight end that can catch the ball like a lot of these other guys do. Demaryius Thomas, I mean, come on.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. And that's why I'm confident they're going to get a tight end somewhere in the draft. And they could even get a productive receiving tight end fourth round. They don't have to get one in round one. But when you look at Njoku and Howard, they are so special. They are that good.
Remember what
good.
Josh said, that Njoku, he's tested in the 92 percentile. That's freakish.
Again,
right from Cedar Grove.
Yeah, he's Cedar Grove.
And by the way, his brother is going to go play at Miami next year.
Is he really?
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He's a receiver.
He's a big guy?
Yeah. Yeah, they say he might be better than
figures.
Him. Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, he is a big dude.
Jim from Alabama, you are on line 4 on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show. I've been listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live since it only aired at kickoff time.
Terrific.
And so it's been a little while.
Wow.
Hey, I got a bunch of questions, but the most important one, Paul, you told me that I need to ask Jeff about the kicker. a couple weeks ago.
I did.
So I went and watched some video of Rosas kicking.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the leg on that guy.
I told you.
And he's not kicking those line drivers that aren't going to make it over the center's head. He's kicking, I mean, with nice arc on it. I want to know, is this guy going to be our kicker in week one? And what do you think the chances are of that? And what's the backstory? Why do we pick a guy up that looks like that good a kicker in the middle of the offseason who's just unsigned? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I'll answer your first question. I think he is legit. And I've known about him for a while just through some of my guys in the kicking world, if you will. I know a lot of you guys know my son is going to Miami, so I'm around kind of the kicking world. And he's been a guy that some people have said, this dude's pretty good. And so I have a feeling that the Giants are going to want to give him every opportunity to make the team. He's young. He was coming off a knee injury, so he's only getting healthier. And I feel like, you know, that he's got a shot. Now, I will tell you this from experience and being a punter and a kicker and knowing this, that, you know, at the end of the preseason, it's really, there's a lot of veterans out there that are on the street. So if the kid doesn't do well, you can always go that route. I know some people are kind of saying, well, maybe we draft a kicker. You don't draft kickers these days. Look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. They drafted his kicker in
McGuire.
The second round, and he could barely kick his way out of a paper bag. They brought in Nick Folk to challenge him.
Exactly.
So I think that, you know, this is to answer your question, I think that he's a guy that played at a small school. Not many people knew about him. He's with Tennessee Titans on their practice squad, and he's going to give – I think the Giants will give him a shot to make the team.
Yeah, he's a big guy, too. He's like 225.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And he's got a couple of tackles on special teams. I was like, man, we could use this guy.
Well, we don't want him making too many tackles.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
one more question for you guys, since we were talking about the fullback position. I really like the Rhett Ellison signing. But I'm afraid we're in a position where we're going to have the same problem again if he gets hurt. I mean, those guys, they throw a lot of blocks, and, you know, you can get hurt.
Well,
who's the backup guy? Any
yeah, but he's
that,
he's been very durable.
Fullback comes back that we cut?
Will Johnson, the door was left open for him, but, you know, he said himself the Giants had asked him to take a pay cut down to the minimum, and then he decided that he wasn't real comfortable with that. They made the deal for Ellison. And I think the door is still open for Will Johnson. And, you know, whether or not he wants to take it or not is going to be up to him. But I'll tell you what, Jeff's right. Ellison's been durable. This is a guy who is really, really tough. Think about this. He was the fullback when Adrian Peterson ran for over 2,000 yards and won an MVP several years ago.
Yeah, well, listen.
I mean, that tells you what this guy's all about.
He's a big dude.
Yep.
6'5", 250. All right. Oh, look! Wait a second. Holy smokes.
What'd you do?
I just realized. I just saw this. He's married to a model. Wow.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
As if that has any impact on his football capabilities.
It's amazing what you
do. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's cool.
201-939-4513.
No, I like. You know what? He is durable. The guy can play, and it's going to help so much because. You know, even if Flowers is the left tackle as he is now, just to get this guy some help over there and having this type of a player be there will help tremendously.
You know what I like about it? Look at his career stats, and I want you to tell these people how many career touches he has had in his career.
Oh, I know that, but not much.
Okay, then tell them.
Two? One?
I believe career touches is under 24 for his entire career.
Well, no,
touches.
I mean, like running.
Catches,
I'm not about running.
Catches and runs.
Oh, yeah, I think maybe he's had 8 catches and maybe 4 runs or something.
It's ridiculously low, which tells you he doesn't need the ball to enjoy playing the game.
No, he likes to hit. That's
and I mean. Love that. I love that.
How do I get –
it's a big deal.
Horrible. You guys are always so good at this stuff. And, you know, how you get his career stats right here. News, summary.
Go summary. Go to summary.
All right. Dave. Okay.
Now, if I needed to punt the football, I'd be asking him.
Okay, here you go, right here. Look, 2012 came in the league, okay?
So he does have 51 career catches. I'm thinking the last couple of years, of course, only 20.
Wow, from 12 to 51. You don't know your free agents.
No, I'm doing a bad job with his career numbers.
I am ashamed of you.
Bad job on the career numbers.
That's horrible.
The point being, though, he doesn't touch the ball very much at all.
No.
And that's fine with him. He's been very happy doing so.
Yep.
All right. Back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Yes, sir.
So this, look at this, is his rush. Those are returns. Where is his rushes? Why don't they have the rushes in here?
Right there. One.
Okay.
So I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, so one.
He doesn't have to carry the ball. Yeah. And that's great, because when you bring a guy here like that, and you know you want him to be a blocker first, you know he gets it.
I saw the interview with him that Bob Papa did, and he actually, I don't know, you guys can go on the archives for some of the videos on Giants.com. He said that when he was coming out in the draft, this was a team he wanted to go to.
Yes, I saw that.
Which is exciting.
It's very good.
So that's you know, sometimes that works out for free agency. It's pretty cool.
All right, we got about 6 minutes left, so we got three callers on hold. We're going to give you 2 minutes each. Now, line two, Charlie from Portland, you're first up. Go ahead, Charlie. 2 minutes.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Hey, the other day you were on the show, somebody said they agreed with me 70% of the time and wanted me to run for president. So I'm thinking about it.
All right, okay. Well, you just keep thinking about that.
I guess you're going to get one vote.
At least you got four more years to think about it.
Hey, Rhett Butler. I'm reading you something from Jordan Renaud. He said Rhett Butler, I call him Rhett Butler, would certainly help the Giants with his blocking, but he's not the left or right tackle that New York still needs. At the end of the day, the Giants could end up being better next season than they were in 2016, but it won't matter if Eli Manning and company aren't able to score points. So I guess what he's saying and what I feel, which I agree with him, is that we still haven't addressed the right side tackle and the left side tackle. I know we got Flowers there, but we need competition for Flowers. We need to bring in a veteran who is good and to challenge him, to make him better. And if he beats him out, great. If the veteran beats him out, great. I'd rather have Flowers learning technique on his second year with Solari on the right side than I would on Eli's blind side. So we still haven't addressed that. I hope we have some money now. I hope JR does address it before it's too late to address it, because, like I said, we still haven't addressed the tackle situation. So that's all I really got to say. That's
all right, Charlie.
My 2 minutes.
You got
you
it.
You guys
take care.
Man.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
we'd only say this.
We have Michael Bowie.
We'd only say this. The Giants' passing game, Eli's, for the most part, has been able to get his passes off. I mean, the pass protection could always be better, but it's been okay. The run game is really where the offensive line is hurt, and there are more than one ways to skin a cat, and there are more than just one way to improve the run game. Yes, you can improve the guards. Yes, you can improve the tackles. But yes, you can add a fullback. Yes, you can add a blocking tight end. There's not just one way to run the ball down the field and move the sticks. And you got to be more open-minded in that regard, because you can't always do it one way. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you can also become, you know, a little more physical at the line of scrimmage. You know, these are all intangibles that to get into play. Absolutely. Yeah.
Bottom line is, if they get the run game going, they will score more points. Jeff, you're on line one.
I am.
You're on the show. Hello.
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to – I have a sleeper for a tight end, like round three, right around there.
Kittle.
And then I had a point to make about Flowers. So which one do you want first?
I want the sleeper first. You're looking at Kittle from
okay.
Iowa, aren't you?
No.
No? Okay.
If we're just looking for a receiver, Bucky Hodges.
Yeah.
I think he was first in the broad jump. He's like 6'7", 260.
We call up his combine numbers now. Go ahead.
I mean, if he's around in three, I think he'd be worth it. But then my main point was, what I'm going to say has no facts behind it, but I have a good gut feeling that Eric Flowers is pretty much in high school, he was bigger and stronger than everyone. And then he was recruited to Miami, and he was put into a starting position because he was huge and they thought they could coach him. And then he left for the draft, and he was projected to be a fourth to fifth round pick. And then he got picked in the ninth overall spot. And then he was supposed to play right tackle.
All right, hold on. Before you keep your string going, he was a first round tackle on almost every single board that
Matt
I had
Miller
seen.
Had him as fourth to fifth round.
Who?
Matt Miller.
Well, he may have done that, but he may have been the only guy in this entire country who thought that he was not going to be a first-round pick. Ereck Flowers was a first-round pick on everybody else's board in the world.
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong there, but that's besides the point. What I'm saying is Ereck Flowers, his whole adult football life has no reason to be told that he needs to work on anything.
He does now. He's in the NFL, year three.
But what I'm concerned about is if you've literally gotten this far without working hard on technique, what's going to make you all of a sudden realize you need to?
Because it's time. You're a professional. It's time.
I agree. I'm hoping he does, and I'm rooting for him. I think this team, if he improves, then I think we are like a legitimate heavyweight for the championship. So I'm hoping. I really am, but I don't.
Well, only time will tell.
All right, Jeff.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I happen to believe that as the offseason developed and became further and further and further along, that the Giants were of the realization that they were going to need the in-house improvement from Ereck Flowers to help their left tackle situation get better. It's not coming in on a white horse, okay?
Yeah.
Ereck Flowers is going to have to be that guy.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we're in line for another good season. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he's maturing and he's working his butt off. So
Thank you, Jeff.
And I'm have a good night.
Appreciate it. I want to try to get to Richie on line three before we close out the show. Richie, go ahead. You're on the program.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Sure.
Thanks, Paul, for commenting on my Twitter thing about the mini camp, the one
sure.
where you said Hickson got a torn ACL.
We'll never forget that and felt so bad for Dominic. One of the real class guys. I really enjoyed having him around.
Yeah, I'd hope, maybe they do something like that again. Things like that are pretty interesting. Also, I saw a picture that they're, redoing the turf or the grass in Quest Diagnostics.
Yep, they tore it all up. They're replanting.
Resodding.
Getting it fresh for the springtime, huh?
Yep.
I couldn't get my hands on the old sod.
We didn't want it.
I was down here a bit too late. It was already gone.
What were you going to do with it?
He was going to cut a piece out and bring it to the house.
Yeah, right.
We could put one up here on the wall, on the bulletin board.
We'd have to water it then. That's not going to happen.
Just so one thing, do you think there's like a different philosophy that teams have, like, drafting later as opposed to drafting, like we did the past couple of years, top 10 pick, top 15 pick? Do you think they, obviously they, still going to take the best player available, Reese is always going to come with those comments. But do you think it's harder to pick further back, or you think it's a little bit easier? And
Richie,
I'll take your question off there.
Thank you very much for calling. I will let Jeff answer. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
I think it's a little bit easier to pick in the back side of it because there's not as much. Listen, if you're going to miss on those guys more often than not, your first two rounds, first three round guys got to be surefire picks. Those guys, you got to hit on those. You really do. The back end of the draft is where you get lucky. You find some diamonds in the rough, the guys that can be a fourth and a fifth rounder, Tom Brady, for example, someone like that that can actually come out and help improve your team. And so, you got a grade on those guys. Listen, the guys at the top are all pretty much the same. They're all grading out. They're good as they get.
Blue chippers.
The one down, the guys below, in a sense, they're maybe a little bit better guy that does this, but he doesn't do this as much. You're hoping that this all comes together for them. So, I just think that it's a lot easier to pick at the top because they're all good.
I think you're more apt to maybe want to do a deal when you're out of the top 12 or top 15 because you figure there's a cluster, and there are probably a lot of guys in the same cluster, and if you can move down a few spots, you're probably more apt to do that. Teams up in the top 10, top 12, unless they're getting an overwhelming price, they're going to be real itchy about making a deal.
Yeah, and sometimes, if you move a couple spots down, it doesn't cost you that much. You actually can get another pick.
Yeah,
somehow
when you're lower.
And you know that the two teams in front of you aren't going to pick the guy you want because it's not a need for them.
Yes.
So that's how you can – it's a game that you play.
Yeah. All right, folks, that'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Another great Friday.
We'll be back again as we are Monday to Friday, noon Eastern time till 1 o'clock, 201-939-4513. Write down the phone number. Get us again next week, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. On Monday, college preview with Auburn Tigers. Auburn Tigers on the draft board for our Big Blue Kickoff Live show.
And listen, we probably should give a shout-out to John because he's probably watching the show.
Is he?
I would imagine so.
I
if
hope
you
he's
are John,
relaxing.
Then,
John had a little bit
well
of an injury,
soon.
But yeah. He'll get well. Will he be back on Monday?
Stay away from the kitchen, please.
But Jeff Beagle's up, Paul DeTito. Take care.